So it's 1 February. So we start, 1/12 of the year is gone. Start making your Christmas list. I saw the funniest thing on TV. And I love to laugh, and I don't know why I don't watch the comedy thing too much, but I was flipping through, and this guy, he was Jewish, and he was so good. If you think about it, he said, "You Christians," he said, "y'all took one day holiday festivity of yours, Christmas, and you turned it into 3 months of shopping." he said, "Could y'all do your shopping sooner than that?" And then he goes on and on in another part. He said, "I love Christmas. And I wanted to play, and I wanted to celebrate Christmas. And my parents said, 'You can't, you're Jew. You're Jew.'" And he's been like, "You're Jew." He said, "I don't want to be a Jew. I want to be a Christian. On the 25th of December, I want to be a Christian." And he said, "I used to go over to my Christian friend's house on December the 25th in the afternoon. Toys and presents and food and just all this stuff." He said, "What do we get? We get Happy Hanukkah. We get to light little candles." He was really good. Now, this I want to read. This is good. But if you don't know East Texas, it won't be as funny to you. But those of you who know East Texas, so those of you on the internet and tapes, you kind of have to just follow through. But a man went to a local independent Baptist church and asked to join. The preacher said, "Okay, we'd love to have you here, but you got to pass a Bible test. First, the first question, where was Jesus born?" And the man responded, "Longview." The preacher said, "Sorry, you can't join here." So the man went to another Baptist church and asked to join their Baptist church. And the preacher said, "We'd love to have you, but you got to pass a Bible test first. Where was Jesus born?" "Tyler." "Sorry, you can't join this church. You're out of here." So the man goes to the only other independent Baptist church in the whole county, and he asks to join. The preacher said, "We welcome you with open arms." "Don't I have to pass a Bible test first?" "Nope, we don't do that here." "Well then, can I ask you a question?" The preacher said, "Sure." He said, "I want to ask you, where was Jesus born?" The preacher said, "Palestine." The man said to himself, "I knew he was born in East Texas somewhere." I got another one here I haven't proofread and censored yet, so I have to do that. Okay. Oh, y'all got another full house? Y'all do this to me. I'll just keep going. I bought enough notes for 2 hours, 2.5. All right, here we go. Oh, that's good. Oh, they found this thing and they gave it to me. Down when we first moved here, they didn't bring my little clock. So I stood up Sunday morning, first Sunday, I said, "Well, y'all didn't bring the clocks, I guess I'll go on and on and on." Tuesday night, it was up here. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of our prayer is to allow the Holy Spirit to test ourselves to see if we're the Spirit, that He can teach us. We're in a passage or a subject matter in Scripture that is a little uncomfortable. It is greatly misunderstood, and I do mean greatly, and it deals with divine discipline, so we're going to have to understand what's going on in Scripture so that we don't come up with the wrong, inaccurate doctrines that so many people have and understand what really was going on with this. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what an awesome God you are, that you have provided everything we need, including faith itself. You have provided, Heavenly Father, all that we need to understand about life and about death. We learn, Heavenly Father, who and what you are and how you love. And pray, therefore, Heavenly Father, as we study tonight, that your Spirit will take us into more understanding of what kind of God you are and how much you really do love us and the relationship you desire with us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's begin with Revelation 3. Revelation 3, just for a moment. We are in verse 19 in Revelation 3, and Christ is speaking to the church of Laodicea. And in this church, Christ has said, you're neither hot nor cold, and spit you out, and all these things. And then in verse 18, gives them some wonderful advice just to buy things from him, and you buy it by faith, as we saw. And then he comes to verse 19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. We have so much to study and learn in this passage. Right now we've noted those whom I love. We're looking at reprove and discipline. But even the last phrase we're going to have to spend some time on, because people have misunderstanding. Therefore, be zealous, therefore, and repent. So we've got to be zealous and repent. Now we began last week in this study. So remember the difference. First of all, there are two key words that you always want to have in mind when you do think of discipline, that you want to bear in mind. And we have discipline, and we have punishment. Discipline and punishment. Please remember the distinction of these two concepts. And discipline, you recall. Well, let's start with punishment. Punishment always looks backward. Punishment looks backward. Punishment looks at what you did, and that's all that's considered. Please always bear in mind, Jesus Christ took our punishment. You don't ever have to worry about punishment. Discipline always looks forward. Discipline looks forward to bring us into a fellowship with him. He's jealous. He wants us into relationship with him. Discipline is designed to do that. Punishment is for what we did. But remember, when I say that, you don't get punished. Christ bore that. But I just want to make it in your mind what's going on. Punishment is for what we did. Divine discipline, however, is for what we are not doing. What we are not doing. And what we are not doing is living under the benevolence of his love, having fellowship, enjoyment, being happy to be a Christian, being happy to walk in the Spirit, happy with today, happy with life. So, since you're not doing that, then he is going to bring about discipline to bring you to this. People, this is very important to God. Gospel of John, I write that your joy may be full. 1 John is powerful. Since 1 John is so close, look at 1 John. Just go back a few pages. And you'll come to 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Look at 1 John chapter 1. Long sentence, but let's just quickly get it so you'll get the idea. Verse 1 of chapter 1, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, and what we have seen with our own eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life, Jesus Christ. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And all through is this continual desire of joy, enjoyment, and happiness. So the punishment, what we did do, and Christ bore that, discipline is for what we're not doing. We're not walking in fellowship. We're not enjoying comradeship and fellowship with God. through the power of the Holy Spirit. So divine discipline is joined for that. Now, Steve, how you doing? All right. Let's see here. Boy, I love it. Gonna need another table. Ooh. All right, let's get another table. I tell you what. Why don't you two? Why don't you two come up here and why don't you sit back there with them, Gigi? Right over here, Gigi. Right over here. Here we got you. We got you covered, Steve. We got everybody covered. No. Oh, no. Okay, there we go. Good, Steve. Okay. Also, we noted in this study last week, introduction, that most Christians, many Christians, love to punish. That's very big on their agenda. In fact, they love to do all three things, most Christians, many Christians. First of all, they love to judge. They love to judge other Christians, evaluate what others are doing and not doing. And I have beckoned you briefly, we will study it in more detail. People, if you're ever given the sword, that two-edged sword to judge and wail, drop it. Just tell God you don't want it. Satan loved that sword. We'll study this in Isaiah. Satan loved that sword, and he used it against people, and God comes and talks to him about it. You did not show mercy to those that I gave you. Put under that. So, if you're ever given that sword to judge another Christian, just drop it. I don't want that sword. I don't want it. But there's a lot of Christians, they love to judge. Then secondly, they love to take it upon themselves to decide what the punishment, they love that word, what the punishment, and even if they have it right, the discipline should be. And then thirdly, they have appointed themselves those to carry it out. Carry out the judgment, the punishment. This is what a lot of Christians do. They take great pride in carrying out the judgment. It makes them feel pure. It makes them feel holy, close to God, hurting and destroying other members of the body of Christ. They take pleasure in that. And we also noted last week, introduction, that there are only a few passages, people, that deal with divine discipline in all of the New Testament. And a multitude of passages on forgiving one another, restoring one another, and yet there are a multitude of Christians who know and live by these few passages and explain away all those others. It's amazing. Now, one of those passages is Hebrews chapter 12. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. It's been a long time since we've been this way, so we need to spend some time getting it under our belt and understand divine discipline. Now, we've already started with verse 1. I'm taking my time through this because, as I just said, we've been a long time since we've studied it, and it is something we should be aware of. I would not be doing my job as a pastor if I did not cover a subject that is in the Scriptures, especially when it comes into the point of our study. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, coming off of chapter 11, the great chapter on the great faith people throughout all the Old Testament, men and women who walk by faith. Therefore, coming off of that, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, reference in part to chapter 11. That's what he's talking about. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance. We talked about this being baggage in the soul that so many people carry with them. Every encumbrance, let's lay it aside. And the sin which so easily entangles us, and we studied that. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now we come to verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, having verse 1 under our belt, verse 2. Now in verse 2, the writer, what I'm trying to do is, because I'm going through this quickly, I'm gonna help you grasp what this text is about, just flow through it rather quickly, type of thing we're going to do maybe if we cover a couple of books, or a book, and cover chapters at a time. Now, the writer is going to do two things in verse 2 I want you to be aware of. One, single-mindedness in walking by faith. Single-mindedness in walking by faith. People, living by faith is a mindset. Now, those of you that studied with me, SAD, stress, anxiety, depression, are well familiar with the concept and our study and understanding of mindset. To have a mindset. And what this writer is doing for us is showing you that walking by faith is a mindset. It is very difficult to walk by faith if you do not lay aside your baggage. You just get so bogged down with baggage in life. You get bogged down with sin. This is why we're told in Galatians chapter 6 to help bear one another's burdens. Why? So that they can get up and walk by faith. It's not approving of their sin, people. That's why a lot of Christians, well, I don't help them. They made their bed, let them lie in it, and I don't want to get their discipline if I come in contact with them. People, Christ came in contact with ours. You help another believer. Yeah, they may be in trouble because of sin, and that's the Galatians context, by the way. Bear one another's burdens that was caused by their failure. They may have failed. But people, we got to come along and lift it up so they can walk by faith, just like Christ came along and lifted our burden, the cross, so that you and I could walk by faith. So this is what we do for one another. The second thing he does in verse 2, that's the first thing he does coming off verse 1. Now verse 2, he starts drawing attention to Jesus Christ. Now I want you to just kindly, easily understand what's going on. In verse 1, all those clouds of witnesses that surround us in chapter 11, but I got another one. That's what he's saying. There's one more I'm going to talk to you about. See? That's where Christ comes into this picture. Not only as an object of our mindset, not only as an object of our mindset, but people as an example for our faith. An example how you walk by faith under the most adverse circumstances, under adverse suffering, all kinds of suffering, including discipline. Because he bore our punishment for sins. Now here the writer knows that throughout history there will be all kinds, there will be times and throughout history when it will cost. It will cost to be a Christian. Even physical suffering to follow Christ. He knows that. I'm caught when I talk to my Christian friends that email me and call, and they hear these reports that a Christian got beat up in New Jersey, I think, because he spoke out against, maybe it was homosexuality or something, and then another Christian got this done, and they were taking the Bibles out of schools, and they're taking it now out of libraries, and I am alarmed by it in one way, but in another way, I just want you to realize, people, we just had the privilege of being protected, living under glass for what is our nation now, over 200 years. We've been very fortunate to have all of this freedom, to enjoy it as Christians. And history doesn't know what you and I have known. And if it's changing, it's changing. And stop bellyaching and be protected in the spirit. But this is what he's talking about. There will come a time, and there is times in church history, when there will be suffering, even physical suffering, to follow Christ, to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. So he now draws attention, for an example for us, the perfecter of walking by faith, even under the most adverse of circumstances. He closely relates unfair suffering of walking by faith with the suffering of divine discipline. They're very close. Now, what does this help you do? Let me tell you what this helps you do. You are suffering. Another Christian is suffering. The first thing we're prone to do is, why? I want to know why. What have I done? I must have done something really bad. And some people, well, I know what it was. Why is this going on? People, let me tell you something. Whether you did something wrong, and that's, let's just say it's divine discipline, or it's suffering, has nothing to do with you, solution's going to be the same. Don't waste your time sitting there trying to judge, evaluate, and figure it all out. Don't waste your time doing that, because you're going to get in trouble. Let me tell you how you're going to get in trouble. You're going to start judging. Well, I know why they're suffering. I know why they're... Oh, well, then would you please tell me why these totally off-the-wall people are succeeding and being prosperous? Or are you going to say that God's blessing them? Well, that's what I thought. Don't do it, people. Don't get caught up in all of that. Solution's going to be the same. And what the writer does here is going to relate unfair suffering and continue to walk by faith with suffering that comes from divine discipline and continue to walk by faith. So what we're going to do here, fix our eyes on Jesus Christ so that, one, we have something to fix our eyes on in regard to our walking by faith, and secondly, so that we'll have an example of how to do it. Walking by faith in the midst of suffering without complaint, without running, or without becoming weak in faith, becoming bitter and angry. That's what happens to a lot of Christians, become bitter. When things start happening really adverse in their life, they become bitter and angry and want to run and want to kick and want to take it out on something. So we want to have an example. Well, what am I supposed to do then if I don't do that? If I don't act like a child who just doesn't know what to do, so just starts screaming and kicking and all. That's why a child does that. It's the only way they can gain control. So if I'm not supposed to do that, what am I supposed to do? Well, here's the solution, and here's an example for you. Often it is difficult to discern between suffering and divine discipline, suffering to walking in the Holy Spirit. It's going to be part of our whole study in Job. So let's look at verse 2. Starts off fixing our eyes on Jesus. Now, I hope you understand where it comes from. Verse 1, you got a cloud of witnesses, but I got another one. I want you to walk by faith, even in the discipline or whatever circumstances of life. How are you going to do that? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Now, please listen. You can fix your eyes on your baggage. You can fix your eyes on your sins. You can fix your eyes on your weaknesses. You can fix your eyes on how people treat you. You can fix your eyes on all of those things. Or you can fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you right now, people, it's a choice. It's a mindset. It's a decision you make. You have no one else to blame for that. It doesn't matter what happens to you in life. What matters is how you handle it. How you react or respond to whatever happens to you in life. That's what really matters. I mean, do we want to start a long discussion on David? He was a murderer, a womanizer. He just broke so many things. But he always kept right back and back and walked by faith. I'm not concerned here, even as your pastor, about things that happen in your life. What we're concerned with is what you do with it. What you do with the circumstances that you're in. And so therefore he starts off, fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Don't fix your eyes on your baggage. Don't fix your eyes on your sins. Don't fix your eyes on all your problems. And fix your eyes on people. Well, they're not treating me right. And they're not doing this. And they're not doing that. It's either your parents or the teachers or the police or your boss, your employer, somebody. You can start fixing your eyes and just blaming everybody. Or you can cut all that out and fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Why Jesus Christ? Okay, we'll come to that. So, you got to ask yourself, which is going to help me and allow me to walk by faith? Fixing my eyes on my sins, on my baggage, on all my problems and how people are, or fixing my eyes on Jesus Christ? Well, obviously, fixing your eyes on Christ is going to enable you to walk by faith. So, you want to avoid divine discipline? Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. What does this mean? Let me tell you very simply what this means. I'll tell you very simply. It's what we studied in stress, anxiety, and depression. We spent quite a few lessons on this. Turn with me to Isaiah 26. I wish we had time to spend another night just on this one passage because it's so powerful, but we won't. But let's look at it. people, as you turn to it, I want you to remind you that no matter what you do, it's a thought. If you have an emotional result, it's, first of all, thought precedes all our actions. Thought precedes all action, whether you like it or not. We had a long time with this and a tough time with this in our study of stress, anxiety, depression, in our SAD study, working on this, that the first thing that happens is a thought. Now look what he says in Isaiah 26, verse 3. You, God, will keep him, member of the body of Christ in our case, in perfect peace. That's in your mind. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he walks by faith. Because he trusteth in thee. Now, when we studied this, some of you, most of you I think were here, but some of you may not have been. When we studied this, we just took up a little example. You have in your car a radio. And in that radio, it has two ways you can listen. You can listen to AM, or you can listen to FM. And as we saw for our fun study, AM we called the Adamic, meaning from Adam, the Adamic mindset. Thinking in the flesh. Thinking in the flesh, that's your mindset. Then we studied FM, and we related this to faith mindset. This is your mindset, is related to walking by faith in the Spirit, trusting the Spirit, trusting God in regard to the circumstances of your life. Boy, I don't like where things are going. I don't like where I am in life, but I'm going to trust you to carry this through for your glory and my good, my enjoyment of life, because he wants you to have that enjoyment. So we spent some time on the faith mindset, and people, we saw, it's just as easy as clicking that on your radio. Just push a button. That's what you do to your mindset. You push a button, I'm going to go to the Adamic way of thinking. That's in my flesh nature, and that's the way I'm going to look at it. That's the way I'm going to think about everything. I'm going to be angry. I'm going to have self-pity. I'm going to be mad at people. I'm going to be bitter. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and on and on and on, and really mess up your soul and your life. Or you can flip over here to faith mindset. I don't really like what's going on in my life, but I've got to stop right here. I got to just stop here. It's nobody else's life but mine. It's my life. It's my life. I'm going to stop right here, and I'm going to start walking by faith. And your whole person changes, regardless on whether you're listening to AM or whether you're listening to FM. Now, we spent some time on this and had fun. It's in our study of the SAD series. I love what James Taylor has done for us from the SAD series. I think it's in the first lesson. Those of you that may want to get it, he has titled all the lessons, and I think even verses. So if you wanted to find this, I think you can go right to it, the case to deal with the AM/FM mindset, because it's very important in what we're studying here. Okay, let's go back to Hebrews now. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, fixing our eyes. The author includes himself here, because we all have this trouble, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And then he says, the author. Okay, the author and perfecter. Okay, now what does all this mean? And I'm not going to spend a long time here, we've got to move on, but that is, he is, watch this, he has demonstrated a perfect life of faith. He is the perfecter of it. Somebody just talk about some people, they're just perfect. They got it down. They got it down. I think one thing that I love in the Winter Olympics, I love the ice skating. It's just to me, it's unbelievable the grace that they can do on ice. The feats they, especially ice dancing. And it's just so graceful. They just perfected it. I walk out there and I wouldn't get on the floor and already break my ankle and fall on you know what. But they just do it. They perfected it. And he just made something so, to me, so difficult. It just looks so beautiful. That's what he's talking about here. He's perfected it. The humanity of Jesus Christ is our example. Can be done. And you can do it. You walk by the same spirit that he did. So that's what it means. Now it says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Well, got a lot of things here that I don't want to spend a lot of time, but let's first of all ask the question, where does that come from? Where does it come from for the joy? Who for the joy set before him? Please look, if you will, with me at Hebrews chapter 11. Just turn back one page. Hebrews chapter 11. And let's look at verses 8 through 10 in your seat. Now, what, remember, before you read it, what are we trying to find? Who for the joy set before him endured the suffering of the cross, is the idea. All right, chapter 11, verse 8. Let's see what we have going on here so we can gather some things. By faith, Abraham. He's our example. Christ is an example. Abraham's an example. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien, and we're alien people, lived as an alien in the land of promise. He lived as an alien in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundation, whose architect and builder is God. Okay, let's go back. What are we looking for? Who for the joy set before him? What was set before Abraham? This land. People, he never got to go there and receive it as a promised land. And do you know what? It still hasn't happened. It still hasn't happened. We are, just to round it off, we are close to 4,000 years later. And Abraham lived in tents because he had the confidence that this was going to happen. What do we study New Year's Eve? Now by the faith, hope. Faith, hope, and love. This is why you and I walk. This is why those three words are so important to you throughout this whole year, throughout every year of your life, every day, is this hope, this confidence. And because I have that confidence, I'm going to walk by faith. May not see it in my lifetime. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. At a funeral yesterday, Ken Donnelly, it was, if we have this hope. The world doesn't have, we have this hope, resurrection. It's beautiful. So we don't fall apart and do these things, but just staying here and the joy that is set before him, this is what Abraham is a good example. The joy, the hope, the confidence bringing and that Christ has. Okay? Look with me, if you will, at Hebrews chapter 2. I'm just dealing with this one phrase. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. What is that? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's bringing you and I into glory. He considers it joy. Hebrews chapter 2, 9 and 10. Hebrews 2, 9 and 10. But we do see him who has been made, this is Christ, but we do see him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons, watch this, because this is you, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through his sufferings. Look at verse 13. Again, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I am the children whom God has given me. Let's see if we can figure out who's talking here. Let's look at verse 11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. For which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren. He, Christ, is not ashamed, saying, I will proclaim thy name to my brethren. So Jesus Christ speaking, in the midst of the congregation, I will sing thy praise. I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Now, people, let me tell you something. You want to know how Jesus Christ walked on earth? You just read it. He walked by faith, just like you and I do. He trusted the Holy Spirit, just like you and I do. He walked by faith. This is what we're studying in John chapter 12 on Sunday morning. If he is raised up, he draws all men to himself, bearing much fruit. That's what this passage in Hebrews is talking about, for the joy that is set before him. The hope, the confidence, the assurance of it. Now let's go back to Hebrews 12, verse 2. The author, and fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He despised the shame of the cross, people, before he took the shame of the cross. He knew what he was taking on, and he despised it. What is that? That, by the way, that's our personal sins being lifted up. And has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the session of Christ. He was buried, and then he rose again, and then he ascended into heaven, and then he was seated at the right hand of God the Father, at which point he sent to you and to me the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Let's go on to verse 3 now. For consider him, Jesus Christ, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. People, I hope you didn't, well, I can't say that because sometimes it's good for us, but it's a tough place to be here when you have to suffer a lot of hostility. And I'm talking about whether it's deserved or undeserved in your mind. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When you start receiving hostility, maltreatment from other people. And this is what this verse is talking about. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you, now he did this as our example, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart when you experience such hostility and adversity in life. People, don't give up. You want to hold on. You want to hold on to that. Sometimes you might be the one going through this. And there's just not a whole lot anybody can say to you. It's going to be up here in your own mindset, whether you make it or not. It's good to have friends come along, give you encouragement, put their arm around you. That's what we're to do, to encourage one another. But you got to do it up here in your own mind. You got to make up your own mind what you're going to do with the circumstances of your life. Comes that issue. Now, verse 3 comes from verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, not just in chapter 11, but Jesus Christ himself. And from verse 2, the author and perfecter, our perfect guide, our perfect illustration for our faith. And here is what he is. He is just, here's a demonstration, who suffered all of these things without rebelling himself. For consider him, verse 3, it's an imperative. First we have fix your eyes on him, now consider him. Why? Why do we want to do that? Because he's a perfect example of walking by faith. You see what we're seeing here, people? We're not talking about seeing Jesus Christ and why you believe in him as Savior. That's not what we're looking at here. All we're talking about here is, look at this man. Observe what this man did under the most adverse of circumstances. He's a good example, just like Abraham and all those people in chapter 11. I got one more for you. It happens to be your Savior and your friend. Take a look at him. Watch him. That's what he's saying here. I got one more. Now, consider him. I want you to notice, we're just in verse 3, how many verses we have in exhorting us to walk by faith. let us lay aside every encumbrance. People, it's difficult to walk by faith if you're carrying your baggage around. Let us lay aside the sin that entangles us. It's very difficult to walk by faith and to live and exist in your sin pattern. Let us run with endurance. Now note the word, fixing our eyes on Jesus, and now consider him. These two words have close meanings and are very important for us. But I want you to know before I even go into them, look where they both take place. Fix your eyes on him and consider him. They're in your mind. That's where your battle's fought, people. The battle is fought in the mind. Fixing our eyes. Ah-phara-o. Ah-phara-o. Okay. Well, I want you, so this is Alpha. And actually what we have here, this first part is from Apo. And Apo means from. Apo has that ideal. And then Hara'o, H-O-R-A, long O. Hara'o means to see. It means to see. So what he's dealing here with, to look intently, to study, to look far away at something else and to think about it for a while. To learn by observing from afar. Seeing and understanding by observing. So what you're going to do is we're going to fix our eyes. What that means is, I don't want to be too base, but we have a little fun here. All you have to do is watch some young guy. I'm going to say young guy, could be any man. Just watch some young guys when a beautiful woman walks by. Watch what they do with their eyes. They fix them. They fix them. It doesn't matter what else is going on. Their eyes are fixed. Just like this. You want $1 million? What? Here's your food. What? All right. That's what this means. Fix. You're not distracted by anything else. You fixed your eyes. You're concentrating right on the object that you're looking for. Fix your eyes on him. People, if you are going to walk by faith in the Spirit, in times of trouble especially, in times of divine discipline, you're going to want to look closely and intently at this man Jesus. You're going to want to study him. A lot of organizations, societies today, there are societies, I've learned a lot, becoming a friend of Gigi, and there's some things that his life is known in New York and here. There's just all kinds of groups that meet, if you have an alcoholic problem, if you have a drug problem, if you have just any, all kinds of problems in life, there's an organization that you can go to, and you sit there, and you encourage each other, and you talk with each other, and work on it all. People, here's what you and I want to do. Keep your eyes on him. Let him be your example. If you're going to walk by faith, especially under divine discipline, which is our study, you've got to keep your eyes set on him. One reason that so many people, pastor teachers included, refuse to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit is that they, and do not tell people how to do this, they do not study Jesus Christ. I just read you a passage that clearly states how you walk by faith. I've had preachers tell me Jesus didn't do that. I've had preachers tell me that. They don't study him. They don't understand. That's why they have their problems understanding his love also. You got to fix your eyes on him. Now let's look at the second word. That's our first word. Let's look at our second word. And it says, and consider him. Analogizomai. Analogizomai. Okay, analogizomai. Analogizomai. Let's take a look at what this word means. Analogizomai. Ana. You like this one. This little prefix right here, prepositional prefix. This is one of my favorite words. It means repetition. 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 And then logizomai means, this word right here, logizomai. That means to think. That means to consider. something in that category, in that way, to contemplate, to go over and over. Okay, people, first of all, what's going on? Again. Okay, consider him again and again. Okay, we considered him already once when we considered him to be reconciled to the Father. We thank you of Christ. So we've already considered him. Now, as Christians, we want to walk by faith in the Spirit whom he sent to us. We're going to look at him again, because he walked by faith in the same Spirit that he's sending you. He walked by that same Spirit. He trusted that same Spirit to, if you remember the movie, The Passion of Christ, all the physical endurance and pain and all the things that happened to him, why didn't he just bust out in all of that? Why didn't he just say, listen, I've had enough. I'm God, and you people are dead. He didn't do that. He could have. That's why it's a good thing us mortals are not God. I think what some of us would do if we could. See? That's where we would be. Did you ever see that movie, Bruce Almighty? He did. He got to be God for a little while, and the first thing he did was take care of his own problems. That's the first thing he wanted to do. That's the way most of us would do. So what we're looking at here is we've already considered him once. We considered him a Savior, and we trusted him as Savior. Now I'm going through life, and I'm going to consider him again. How did he walk through life when he was undergoing suffering? Well, what he did was he walked by faith in the Spirit, and he has sent to us that same Spirit. So now we can consider him, think about how he did it, and think about it over and over when we want to rebel, when we want to attack God, when we want to blame God, we want to blame people, we want to just bust out, we want to do all these things, just stop. Consider him. What he did for us, he is our example. And we think about him over and over. People, your mindset is so important in walking by faith. I don't think I've emphasized that enough in the teaching. Your mindset is so important if you're going to walk by faith and avoid divine discipline, avoid a lot of things. Your mind will be on all that baggage. Your mind will be on mental attitude sins of jealousy, of pride, and anger, and hate, and fear, and bitterness, guilt, all the strongholds of the soul that we studied in SAD. All your mindset can be on him. People, let me tell you something. You will have a mindset. You will have a mindset. Thoughts precede all actions. Thoughts precede not walking by faith. Thoughts precede walking by faith. And this is a tough one for some people to grasp when we studied it. But thoughts precede all action. Or they just gone hysterical. They're falling apart. You had a mindset first. And that's just hard for people to understand. Just going, falling to pieces is the way the mind wants to take control again. We studied this. A lot of people have an illusion about control. Control is an illusion. A lot of people have to be in control of everything. Well, they're at a point now where they're not in control. Things are not working the way they want. And so they just do what? They just fall apart. They have a breakdown. They throw a temper tantrum as adults. What happened and why do we do that? That's the way we regain control. Why do you think a child, why do you think a little infant and a baby, why do you think all of a sudden they just start screaming? And you want to just go over there and shut that kid up, lady. Just shut it up. Before I put my foot in his mouth. Whatever. People, the baby's lost control. He doesn't know what else to do. He doesn't know what to do. So he just screams. He's in control. In his mind. He just doesn't know what to do. It just gets worse. And the bills. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Ah! And you start breaking up and screaming. Thought preceded it. Thought preceded it. You got to think. Am I going to walk by faith in the Spirit? Am I not? It precedes the action. For consider him who has endured. Now what does that mean? Continue to walk by faith without rebelling. Who has endured such hostility of sinners against himself, the beatings, the trials, the physical sufferings, the crucifixion, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. That is, that you may not stop walking by faith, no matter what happens to you. And I don't care what it is, people. I'm not up here being self-righteous. Trust me. I'm not here being judgmental or anything else, but I'm just telling you, I don't care if it's finance, family, health, whether you're a young person, an adult, an old person, whatever it is, thought precedes. And you've got to stand back and be able to say, what am I going to do with my life? And can I make it through this? Yeah, you can. You bet you can. He's your example. He's your example. So, who has endured without breaking out such hostility of sinners against himself, unbelievers against himself? These are the beatings and trials and all of this, so that you and I may not grow weary and lose heart. This is what you do when you stop walking by faith, people. You lose heart. Life gets very difficult. Life can get very hopeless. Life can get miserable. And we're very tempted to grow weary and lose heart. What good is going through all of this? And we start rationalizing all these things in our mind because we've got our mindset now that's going to take us down. Now, the important side point here. Let me give you an important side point. Does God discipline every... I'm asking you now. You can interact with me. Does God discipline every believer every time they sin? No. I got a question for you then. You've answered that one good. Now think about this. Does that mean that God does not love those who are not disciplined? No. That's not what Revelation 3 is saying. It says that when you do receive divine discipline, don't think that God has stopped loving you. He has not stopped loving you. He does love you. Now, do you see why I ask those questions? Does he says he loves those whom he disciplines in Revelation 3. Okay, does he discipline every believer? No. Well, then does that mean he doesn't love every believer? Doesn't mean that. You've drawn an inaccurate conclusion. You need to take a course in college called logic, because you've just made a mistake. What this is saying is, if you do receive divine discipline, then you have to understand it's not because he has stopped loving you. It's because he does love you. Divine discipline is based on the love of God, on the wisdom of God. Those whom he loves, he disciplines. When? How? How long? Such is wisdom. Such is wisdom. You and I continue to walk by faith, and we're going to see this extended in our study of Job. Consider him. Look intently, study him, observe him, who has endured such hostility, a sinner against him. Note carefully what is talked about here is what man did to him. Please be sure you got that down. What sinners did against him. Not God, but sinners did against him. Passion of Christ brought this out very well. Very well. And the hostility of sinners. Two groups. Remember that now? One group of the Jews. That's the religion. The other group is the seventh head of the seven-headed dragon. That's Rome. So you had two groups of people, sinners, who treated him with all this hostility, all the beatings, and I think the Passion of the Christ did a great job at showing that. I don't know, I haven't heard, but I just, in my soul, I cannot help with it. I just know that Mel Gibson just does not care what the Academy Awards did. That wasn't his purpose. His purpose wasn't to win an Academy Award. Wasn't his purpose. And I think it's good that the Academy Award did that, because they just made it very clear where they stand on so many issues. So it's just all those kind of superficial things are of no issue. But the sinners are in two groups. So that you may not grow weary and lose heart. And walking by faith, it is difficult to walk by faith. First, let me close with this. First, it is difficult to walk by faith. Why? First of all, people, because it is against our flesh nature to walk by faith. It is a battle to walk by faith, day in and day out, in the Holy Spirit. Why? Good question. Glad you asked that. One, because it is against our flesh nature. Our flesh nature does not want to walk by faith. It does not want to be saved by doing nothing. It wants to be saved, initial salvation is one. It wants to be saved by doing something, anything. If it is repentance, as well as to repent or confess or feel sorry or join a church, make him God, make him Lord, change my life, go take a bath, whatever. I got to do something. The flesh nature just cannot accept grace. Does not want to walk by faith alone. The same thing with being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to do it just by faith. Man's got to do something. Even Christians who did nothing to be saved, they want to do something to be saved as Christians, to walk in the Spirit. I've got to do something for God. No, you don't, people. You walk by faith. So first, it is difficult to walk by faith because of our flesh nature. Secondly, it is difficult due to the circumstances of life and people. That's the baggage, the sins that entangle us, and people in life. People, it's tough. People can make it tough. A husband can make it tough for a wife to walk by faith. A wife can make it tough for a husband to walk by faith. Parents can make it tough for a child to walk by faith. Children can make it tough for a parent to walk by faith. People, sometimes adults can make it tough to walk by faith. Let's just talk about it. Everything around us makes it tough to walk by faith. And thirdly, it's really difficult to walk by faith when suffering, any kind of suffering, but especially divine discipline. So we have three reasons for why it's difficult to walk by faith in the Spirit day in and day out. One, it's against our very flesh nature. Two, it is difficult due to circumstances of life, people, circumstances, things like that. And thirdly, it's really difficult to walk by faith under suffering, any kind of suffering, but especially divine discipline. You can start feeling guilty. I'm unworthy. God's never going to use me again. God doesn't care, all this, and on and on and on. Your mind can just start playing all these tricks, and it's very difficult just to stand back and say, I'm going to walk by faith in this. I'm going to continue trusting Him. That you may not grow weary and lose heart. We'll start here next Tuesday evening. Let's close in a word of prayer. We didn't get as far as I would have liked, but that's okay. We're in no hurry. We want to understand these things. We want to understand what it means not to grow weary and not to lose heart. Because it's so easy to do so when you're under suffering. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to open the Scriptures. We thank you for your Spirit opening our eyes and ears to the things you would have us to see and hear and understand, Heavenly Father. And once again, Father, we do not grow weary in thanking you for a place to meet. We thank you so much for this room, this place. We pray, Father, you will continue to allow us the enjoyment of coming together, opening the Bible, studying the truth, having it fortify our lives, and giving us the joy to enjoy each day. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.